The Mike O'Mara Show opening is brought to you by a very special TMOS Happy Hour tribute to RJ Diaz. Join us Friday, August 24th from 5 to 7 p.m. or later maybe at Quench in Rockville. Come say hi to all of us from the show and enjoy drink specials chosen by each member of our merry band. Mm-hmm. Every day, something new I don't know about.
That's right.
And some very impressive food also on special. It all happens at Quench Friday the 24th, 5 to 7 p.m. Quench is at 9712 Treville Gateway Drive in Rockville. For more information, go to online quenchnation.com. Or click their banner on our website, and we'll see you this coming Friday night from 5 to 7 p.m.
Yay.
Always like to open the show with a get when we get a get.
We get some gets.
We do get some gets, and we are dialing it up right now, calling right now to the 81-year-old chairman emeritus of Augusta National Country Club, Hootie Johnson. Oh. Because as you know, they've just admitted their first two female members.
Very big news.
It is big news. And culturally significant, I'm told.
First female since 1933?
Yeah. I'm sure he's expecting the call. He should pick up any moment.
Well, he's 81.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hootie.
Who's calling?
Hi, it's the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'm not doing any more goddamn interviews at all. I don't have anything I want to say to anybody about
Hootie.
This ridiculous...
Sir. Hootie.
What?
We are on the air right now. This is prearranged. You are on the air.
I'm terribly sorry. Hello. Well, hello there.
Howdy, Hootie.
How you doing?
Hello there.
It's nice. It's you know who you're speaking with. This is Hootie Johnson, Chairman Emeritus of Augusta National Golf Club. I didn't hear you say country club, did I?
No.
Even though I wouldn't have been able to hear you because you were speaking before my phone line was open.
Right. You're not.
I heard you say country club.
Do you have a home?
Can I explain something to you?
Do you have a home computer?
I have a home computer.
Can you? Do you?
I have a Coleco.
A Coleco home computer.
Well, those are really
I have a Coleco that I use, but I have had a bar. Let me
Hootie.
Just hold on. You just, just shut your mouth and let me just give you this distinction between a golf club and a country club. I'll say, son. You see, a country club, we don't have a swimming pool or a croquet court or an area where
a croquet court
where children can run.
Chilling?
And you know, we do not. This is not an amusement park.
Certainly
this is a golf shrine, a property that is dedicated to golf and the game of golf. You see.
For example, if I were to go to Pebble Beach,
yes, sir.
Would they have Amen Corner?
Of course they would not have Amen Corner. That would not be Augusta National. Are you on some sort of narcotic?
No, not at all.
Understand.
Oh, we need to pause a moment for station identification.
All right, are we clear? Are we off the air?
Sure.
A sad day.
Why?
Hey, you heard the news. I've been feeling questions about letting split tails into Augusta.
That is no way to refer to Condoleezza Rice.
This is a travesty. If I was under my watch, I kept that club pure for so many years, and now and now after all this time, they have rejected my principles. And yes. they've chosen to let...
We are back.
Hello.
Hi, Hootie.
Hey, you got any questions for me about
Hootie Johnson.
News?
Yes, you must be very excited now that you have a banker
and
a former national-level politician, Condoleezza Rice.
I think it is wonderful.
Right.
I think it is fabulous, and I'm delighted to welcome both of these accomplished young women into the membership. Well...
Compared to you, I suppose.
Well, yes. I'm 82.
81.
81. Or is it 82?
I think it's... Well, at the beginning of the call, it was 81. I don't know how long we've been talking.
You may have aged while we were here on the line.
Hootie, are you there?
Did you call Augusta a country club?
I did not.
You son of a bitch.
Hold it.
No offense.
We have to pause and check the weather here in Manassas, Virginia. And we're back in a moment on the Mike O'Mara Show.
There we go.
Hootie.
That's some of the boiled egg I had.
Hold on
just a second.
Yes, hold on.
Luella? Luella, this egg was slightly underdone. Yes. Yes, perhaps we can do it better tomorrow.
Apparently having breakfast.
Yeah. That was my maid.
What was her name again?
Luella.
Now that we're back, before we get back, I should say.
Well,
How do you feel about having women in the club?
That's crap.
Why?
It's disgusting. I don't want to walk the halls of Augusta and then through the common areas and smell fish.
What?
You know, and that's, the ladies with their perfumes and covering all their ungodly smells that they have, yes.
Producer Schmoska Fantana, I usually don't get on the mic here.
How do you do?
I just wanted to ask you a
question.
How
are you? What did you say that last name was?
Schmoska Fantana.
Fantana. Yes. Is that a Latin origin?
Yes, it is, sir.
Oh, dear God.
Are you hiring?
I was just...
no, not those people.
I was just curious before we come back from break, and we've got about 30 seconds here looking at the clock.
Yes,
is it a coincidence that one of the two female members in the history of Augusta National Golf Club, her first name starts with a C?
He liked that joke.
Son of a funny boy.
We're back.
That is it. Hello?
We're back.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
We are here with the 85-year-old chairman emeritus
of Augusta National.
Augusta National Country Club.
Golf Club, some bitch. It's a golf club. We don't have a pool.
We don't
have a swimming pool.
No pool at all.
We have golf courses. We have azalea-lined fairways, and we have green jackets.
Have you no jacuzzi?
What do you do to cool off after a golf tournament, if you have no pool?
We go into the air-conditioned comfort of Butler Cabin and enjoy a mint julep.
Awfully small in the cabin.
I'm getting off the phone with you something.
No, I wish you'd stay because I have another question.
All right. Are we on the air?
Yes,
we are.
I think it is wonderful that Augusta is admitting women.
All right. Oh, we need to pause to station identify. We are clear.
Bitches.
All right. And we're back.
Yes.
What adaptations have you made in the clubhouse for these new female members?
Well, we are going to add more toilets. Because I understand they sit down, when they make water.
How many more?
Two.
One for each?
One for each girl.
Should be plenty.
That's right.
For the women.
And we are also installing a tampon dispenser.
Oh, does it take money?
Yes, it does.
Feminine hygiene products.
Each tampon will be $43.50.
Seems pricey.
It's Augusta.
That is so much
Augusta
cheaper.
Augusta National Golf Club.
Because I know that when people go and take in the Masters golf tournament down there, when the fans are at the country club, you don't charge much for the hot dogs.
No, the patrons, they're not fans, and it is a golf club, not a country club, some bitch.
There's no pool.
I'm going to come down there, and I'm going to rip out what little hair you have left in your head.
Hold on a second. We got to do a top of the hour ID.
All right.
Now that we're clear for a moment, we're not on the air right now. What adaptation have you made for these women?
Are we no longer on the radio?
No longer on the radio.
I'm going to rescind this. I'm starting a plot. I am starting a coup de grace.
A what?
A coup de grace to reverse this misguided policy.
Why the hatred?
The hatred, it's not hatred, it's love. These women should be in the kitchen making pie.
Pie.
Okay. And providing their men at home with a loving environment where they can raise the chillin'.
Now, the what?
Chillin'.
Okay, before we come back, I'm curious,
yeah.
Can you describe in just a few words your feeling about women joining Augusta?
Wrong.
Right.
Misguided.
Yes.
Evil.
And we're back.
Democrat.
What?
I gotta go.
Okay, bye-bye. Thanks for joining us, Hootie.
You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it. For I shall not pass this way again.
Phyllis Diller.
You know, the lights have gone out with dirty old Fang. The last time there was a gleam in Fang's eye, there was a short in his electric blanket. And I'm also so happy to be here to get away from my mother-in-law. You know, Fang's mother, Moby Dick. Ugh, is she fat? She's so fat when she cries, her tears run up. When she takes her girdle off, her feet disappear. Instead of cologne, she uses room deodorizer. I got news, she still stinks. When she wears a white dress, we show movies on her. One day she had on a gray dress and Admiral boarded her. She's so horrible. One night she was at a party, somebody said, "Let's chew the fat," and a guy bit her. once a month they shove her through the Holland Tunnel to clean it. She's an old bat. Her social security number is 2. The only reason she wasn't on Noah's Ark, they couldn't find another animal that looked like her.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
Live from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studios, it's America's most beloved podcast. This is the Mike O'Mara Show.
Right.
We are downloaded more than 14.5 million times, and we are heard in 150 countries worldwide. Call us, won't you please?
No, not today.
I don't even have it open. 718-506-1625. Does that sound weird to you a little bit again?
All of a sudden, you're a little muddier. You're a little softer now.
Every day, a new adventure.
And
with
yet,
the,
nothing gets touched.
Yeah, I know. I know. But it's, I don't know. That's
you
your problem.
You're in the sand trap of that country club.
Sunspots.
The country club, exactly.
It's a golf club, apparently.
Our show today is brought to you by The Twilight War by David Crist. The Twilight War is the dramatic secret history of our 30-year conflict with Iran, including the covert operations that brought our countries to the brink of war. Author David Crist is a historian, or an historian for the U.S. government, mm-hmm. and a frequent advisor to senior civilian and government officials. The Twilight War by David Crist, praised by both the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. NPR calls it fascinating.
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 And it says it reads like an action movie. The Twilight War by David Crist, available now at thetwilightwar.com. Mm-hmm. But you can help the show by purchasing it through Amazon on our website, and we thank you.
I'm about 100 pages into it, and I've never understood the whole deal with the Shah and the Ayatollah. And
I do.
But you were a little older then.
A little.
Yeah.
10 years.
12.
But not now.
12.
But he breaks it down.
I'm 12 years older than you.
59, right?
All right.
Yeah. Well, what?
I don't know.
It's fascinating. And for someone, it's a hard piece of history to understand. And I enjoy it. I'm sorry about your age, dude.
He's helping.
Anyway. Dude. What is this with you calling me dude lately? That's what he's doing.
He gets nervous.
Rob gets nervous when there are new people. We have a guest here. We'll bring him in here in a second.
Yes.
We'll roll him in here on his two wheels in a minute.
Oh, cool.
But it's a motorcycle guest that we have today.
Right.
A lot to talk about. So much. I don't know if we're going to get to it all today. We have Reno news right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. Mark Ronick, almost a biker. We've got Mark's instructor from his motorcycle class.
He is.
I'm eager to hear.
The instructor.
Also, maybe a little TV talk. Political ads, same old, same old. Oscar update, find out how things are going. I checked in with Oscar last night. No word from him.
No reply at all.
I basically have to see him at the show to find out how he's doing. Rosie's heart attack.
Yeah, that's a shame, isn't it?
I didn't see it coming. I didn't see it coming. But we begin with the best news ever.
Yeah.
Got this yesterday. Mr. Ronick and Mr. Diaz and I tipped a glass of Guinness yesterday because we had celebratory news. And here to tell us that news, it's been a long haul, been a long year mm-hmm. of dealing with this, Mr. RJ Diaz. Lay it on us, my friend.
Mike, I had my first blood test since the treatment ended. My PSA reading is now down from 14.1 to 0.03.
Explain what that means. Right. Explain what that means to people that might not know what's going on.
The PSA test is a test that is given that man receives to test the level of estrogen, that's what I'm in full of right now.
Mm-hmm.
The prostate-specific antigen that is created when cancer exists.
So,
now, it doesn't mean that you always have cancer. One of the readings that I had earlier prior to this whole event over the last year were 3 to 4 range. Now, I was told I should get things checked out every year. Well, that's where I made my mistake. I didn't. Do this once a year, guys.
It needs
to be done. The fact that I'm down to 0.03 means there is no cancer growing in my body.
There you go.
That's
so great. That means file Mr. Diaz under the cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. You know, truly,
I lost $50. I'm okay with it.
Oscar, thank you.
That's $50. You're okay with it. Yeah.
And it looks like he'll make it to the end of that 8 months in Miami.
You know, a couple of things. We're in the room with three people who are actually and hopefully four.
Yes.
With your dad still under treatment and doing well.
He's
right.
Doing great. You're
doing
yes.
really well. This is why you do fundraisers for cancer research. Mm-hmm. This is why you go to the events. This is why you march. This is why you ride motorcycles. This is why you run in the marathons. This is why you do all of it, because this money, compared to when I was, say, 30, 23 years mm-hmm. ago, what they do now is, you know, you've got Rob Spiewak, who has a son who had pediatric leukemia, who was cured of it.
Cured.
You had Mark Ronick's mom, who had breast cancer,
right.
who they have, you know, they have cured her. You've got RJ Diaz of prostate cancer, and then you know. The strides they're making in the technology and in the research that they're doing for these cancers, this money is going towards, you know, not eradicating cancer, but making amazing strides.
The strides are fast and furious. Yes. In the 3.5 years, roughly, that Robert was receiving chemo, the percentage rate of survival for his strain of cancer increased from 96 to above 97. And the fact they could do that in 3 years means that, yeah, you know what? The cure is within our grasp.
We have to continue with
the research and the support, and I just can't congratulate RJ.
Isn't that great news?
So pleased.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you all.
So happy.
Wow.
And everyone that helped me get through this over the last year, especially my family, my kids, my in-laws, and even the ex-wife who actually supported me and called and contacted to be sure everything was good. Mm-hmm. Thank you all. Very much.
Fantastic.
Very
good. Cool. Congratulations.
Bless you, RJ.
So RJ bounced into the kitchen yesterday after the show, and
is that
we immediately
a fat joke?
No. We immediately popped
I bounced
open
less than I would have bounced.
And I said, "Mark, get in here." And we Carla came in shortly thereafter, and
were
bouncing off the walls. I have not seen you that happy. Since this whole thing went down, obviously not.
The best news I've had, getting the job is a good thing. It's a sad thing, but yes, that's good news. This was the best news I've had. I never expected to drop that far after the treatment.
That's great.
That's
amazing. And even your doctor, I think, was surprised.
Yes, he was. He was surprised at my responses to the questionnaire that you get prior to your exam, which is the same questionnaire you get very first time you go in to meet him for a consult. He smiled when he walked in to greet me. So.
That's great. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I hate a smiling doctor.
I hate them all.
That's true.
But anyway, all right, moving on. Moving on to something that's not as life-threatening, but a hell of a lot more entertaining.
Uh-huh. How could it possibly be?
Let's talk motorcycle riding. Now, the Harley-Davidson Rider's Edge program that we have is they're a sponsor of the show, and one of the things they decided to do, Lyndon over at Patriot decided to get together with Mark Ronick and put Mark, because he wants to learn how to ride, put him in the Rider's Edge program.
Right.
It is a program that's offered through Harley-Davidson to new riders and also people that want to, bone up on their
latest
riding techniques.
Right.
And the nice thing about it is, I think pretty much unquestioned that Patriot Harley-Davidson has the best instructors in the country as far as this Rider's
you
Edge
and I
program.
Had them. Yeah,
they're really great. terrific guys. I happen to know a couple of them, and to watch these guys ride is a pleasure for me because they're so talented at what they do,
they're
also tremendous instructors at the Rider's Edge program.
Are.
And nobody knew how Mark was going to do, and when Mark came back from the weekend of courses, he did what he does. It was fine. It was great.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
I did a good job.
Saving it for the show.
Yeah, saving it for the show, but you did pretty well.
So it better be good.
So would you like to introduce your instructor?
Sure. My instructor, Rick Madison, is here and got to know him pretty well. We became kind of buds after the end of all this, but even though he was busting my balls a lot through the course. Yes.
That kind of buds?
No.
Are you guys going to film Wild Hogs too?
What's that?
Are you going to film Wild Hogs
too? Yeah, of course.
You and Travolta.
That's all you need to do. I really don't need your participation for the rest
good.
Of the segment.
Welcome, Rick.
All righty.
Good you saved it.
Let's welcome Rick Madison.
It was worth the wait, wasn't it?
Rick is a friend of my buddy, Mr. John Harris, who I just went to Sturgis with. And Rick is, how long have you been with the instruction group, the Rider's Edge program?
First of all, thanks for having me. About 2 years.
2 years,
yep.
And you know your way around. I won't reveal anything you don't want me to reveal, but let's just say Rick is an experienced motorcycle person because he does it for a living.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
There.
Let me say, I've been teaching for Rider's Edge. This is my third class.
Right.
But I've been an instructor for about 2 years now.
And Mark Ronick rolls into your class. And incidentally,
he sighed.
His nickname that they have? They call him the Rocker.
Say that.
Sergeant Rock.
I've got a pile. That's my email nickname. I've got a plethora of email nicknames.
Rick the Rock.
I get into those.
And I'm sure they're all well earned.
Rick is actually a Marine.
I can tell.
Yeah.
I can tell with the handshake. It was like, hey, nice to see it. Oh, God. Help me, help me. So Mark comes into the class, the Rider's Edge. He is a novice. He has never even – this is the question that Mark asked where he might have some issues with it, where he said, I thought they were automatic transmissions.
We covered that. And he pulled on his chin a little bit and looked at me. I was like, all right, here we go.
Because by nature, it's easier for someone to pick up the gear shifting if they know how to drive a manual.
Yeah, it's the whole translation between using your feet to actually move it versus just moving your hand to shift it. It's you hope that all your students have that, and I think Mark was one of the only students that didn't have that.
That's right.
Mark.
So Mark essentially drives a go-kart. He drives a Prius. It's like it is like a golf machine. Yeah.
I have to say, even Carla said, so he really, Carla came to me and said, he really thought that they were automatic transmissions.
Yeah.
And she said, what a sheltered life he led.
Yes. Oh, thanks.
Yes.
He led a sheltered life. Did you ever drive a manual transmission in an automobile?
My father took me to learn how, and I, you know, took maybe a lesson or two, but that's it.
A lesson?
That's great. Yeah.
Like violin lessons.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So once you found the clutch, how long did you spend looking for the iPod dock?
Not having any experience even with a manual transmission automobile, I would imagine that was extremely difficult. How did he, Rick? How did he do when he's like the friction point and all that on the
friction
on the clutch,
zone.
The friction zone?
We're gonna work on that. He's got a little
work in progress.
We're working on the power walking. But he got a little frustrated during when we're exercise number two. We're trying to find a friction zone, but he
friction zone.
It.
Let me just explain. Uh-huh. Friction zone is the clutch, basically.
Right,
it's
the
where
contact
it's
area.
Where the clutch catches, and you have to figure out where that is
and
on every motorcycle to know how you're going to be able to go, you know, forward.
Because now that I have the person in the room with the least experience, now that Mark has had his lesson,
yes,
the friction zone. Do you feel it in your hand? Do you hear it?
Well,
where,
you've
how do
been
you
on a motorcycle.
Yes,
you
but I don't pay attention to that. I just wanted to look beautiful.
It's like the clutch in a car. Yeah,
okay.
I mean, there's a zone, and
you feel
where it's kind of making contact, right?
It's where the power engages in the motorcycle.
Understood.
Exactly.
Okay. Pulls you forward.
Yep. And it's simple. And having not had a manual even car, that had to be really tough for little Lord Fauntleroy.
Well, he avoids manual cars. He avoids manual labor.
I was that lesson that he's speaking of. I was the only one that was not going forward. I mean, everybody else was lapping me.
Way to go.
And
Mark.
I would just move up maybe a couple of feet and I would stall out.
Mark. Mark.
Because that
Mark.
Process is supposed to be fun.
Right.
Now,
right.
I took the same course and it was fun.
Yeah.
Everybody's learning. Everyone's having a good time. They're helping each other.
Right.
Rick, would it be seriously, now that I just think about my own riding, would it be perhaps the single most important thing? I mean, if you're going to ride a motorcycle, if you don't know that clutch and you don't know
shifting,
well, you don't know, you're going
to
you
can't
kill yourself.
If you don't move, you really can't ride. But if you move so fast, you may be only be riding for a little while.
Right.
Right.
So from you to the wall.
It'll buck you off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't have that.
It'll buck
so,
you up.
I thank Mark for that because that would have been fun.
I
Where's Mark?
Fall.
He's back in the trees again.
So were you scared of it, the whole friction zone?
I was nervous. I wouldn't say I was scared, but I just, because I couldn't find it, I was getting embarrassed.
Yeah.
And very frustrated. Rick many times had to tell me to relax and stop overthinking things because I was just a wreck about it.
But just like you do when he sells.
Like life.
Right.
Like life.
But you're brand new. You've never ridden before. And that, I mean, Rick, you deal with these people all the time, people that come in without any experience whatsoever. But I would imagine it's more of a challenge when somebody doesn't even have the, you know, the clutch deal.
You want to make sure that you get that, because if you don't get that,
right,
the rest of the class is going to be complicated.
Right.
Because we've got to move on. And I got to put this out early, because as soon as Mark started shaking his head thinking, oh, I didn't get it, that's when he didn't get it.
Right.
So if I get him from doing that,
right,
he was good to go.
Talked himself out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We all do that.
What was the part of the class where you, I believe, were screaming at Mark saying, get the hell off my obstacle! Get the hell off of my obstacle!
Was there something he was great at?
Getting off the bike.
Thanks, Rick.
Was he at least punctual?
He was. He was only like 5 minutes.
One time.
Were you really late? Chronically late.
Mark chronically late.
There was one. The first morning, I was 5 minutes late.
The first morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a two.
There's two mornings of classes, and that first morning, there was I didn't expect
the
traffic.
That's the Friday that you had the day off of work.
I know.
It's traffic.
So that's the, isn't that the first 5 minutes of that class? Isn't that when you teach friction zone?
Yeah.
We were still
missed it.
We were still going over gear stuff.
I see.
Yeah.
Gloves.
So 12 people. Yeah. 12 people in the class.
Yes.
And
they all survived.
I think so. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Now here's what I got. First of all, my phone on Saturday afternoon starts blowing up. Okay. I don't know who's at this class, but I'm getting John Harris is texting me. I'm getting Bob Trost from the Harley Owners Group is texting me.
What, did they set up bleachers?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Mark doesn't say a word. I don't hear anything from Mark. I'm hearing from everybody else. Your boy did pretty well. Oh, no. This was Trost's text to me. Bob Trost said to me, he said, well, Mark just finished the class. What a mensch.
No. Wow. Great.
What is mensch mean?
I don't know what mensch means.
It's a Yiddish word. It means a good guy.
It's a good guy?
It means a good guy.
Helpful person.
Okay, so it was a positive. Yes. See, but it doesn't sound positive.
It doesn't. Mensch does not sound positive.
So, of course, because it didn't sound positive, I was intrigued.
You cashed in on
so
that.
So you started calling hospitals? Hi, is this the Inova Hospital? Do you have a mensch there?
I will ask Rick about this because the way I understand it, there is only one really significant fact about the class that Mark was in. There are 12 members in the class and two ladies in the class.
Yes.
Would you like to share the vital statistic about the two women that finished your class?
They are the only two that got the perfect score during the skills test.
Wow. How about that,
yep.
How about that, Augusta National?
And Rick, can you tell us who scored the worst in the class?
The doctor.
Oh, really? Worse than me?
No, you're the doctor.
Oh.
You gave him such hope for a moment.
He is.
That's the funniest moment right
there. Oh, yes.
That was the best bait and switch in the world that he just did with you. Nope, you're the doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you scored the lowest?
I scored the lowest. I passed.
But what did we say about the scores, though?
Right. Well, you said the scores don't matter. It's if you pass and you understand
what
you're
doing.
That's
in the whole world of self-esteem.
That's the old joke. You know what they call the guy who gets the lowest grade in medical school? Doctor.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Now, here's something, and this is putting you on the spot now. Now, you were trained in Virginia, and your certification, you have to go over into Maryland, and because, you know, if you were at most of the people that go through the Patriot Rider's Edge program get their license and have their driver's license
boom, bam, right
in
there.
Virginia,
right.
Yes.
And they get it done. Tough. Somebody takes your course, the Rider's Edge program, they don't have to take the written test or the riding test, they just go over and they fill out the paperwork
the
at DMV, is that correct?
Well, to Maryland, D.C., you have to take the whole test.
And Maryland, too?
Maryland, I believe you have to take the test also.
So you have to take the test. So my question to you, sir,
dun, dun,
dun. When are you going to take your Class M test to get your motorcycle license?
Well, being the lowest scorer in the class, I think it would be better for me to practice a little more before I go take the test.
And also allow time to get to the Maryland Department of Motor Vehicles, because apparently you'll be driving there in first gear.
Yes, probably.
Well, you got the second.
Oh, good.
No. All right. I'm ready to pass judgment.
Oh, good.
And
oh,
I said this. I've said this to you.
Can we have a timpani?
Yeah.
Okay. Judge O'Mara.
We should have a timpani.
Yes, Your Honor, sir.
I don't think you're gonna do it.
Ever take the test?
I disagree.
I don't think you're into it. I think if you were into it like I was into it, I couldn't get on a motorcycle. I couldn't get to the DMV. I couldn't get my stuff fast enough. I wanted to be on that motorcycle the afternoon. You yourself said that out of the class at the Rider's Edge program, like a few people rode home in brand new Harleys because they were so pumped into it. My question now, I realize that the financial end of things,
that's a big part of
with the motorcycle. Mm-hmm. How does somebody like this, if he wants to go take the test over in Maryland?
Yeah, because it's a road test, right?
Yeah, it's a road test.
So does he have to provide his own cycle?
Does he have to have his own scoot for that?
I believe so. In most states, you have to provide your own motorcycle.
So
I don't know what Maryland's rules are as far
I believe
as what
that's correct.
Do.
Have you thought about how you're going to get away with that?
Or get away with
like taking your test.
Well, I was going to take your bike.
Ah, that's
that'll be good.
Yeah, that should
now
be.
Now you
no want
to take a small bike to get through the obstacle course. You wouldn't want to take a big bike like Mike's.
Rick,
rental.
What would you tell Mark Ronick to do now between finishing the Rider's Edge beginner class and going to take his test? What would you tell him to do? Just practice.
Keep working like he's been doing. I mean, during the class we could pick on him all day. Mark never quit.
Okay.
That's what we got to work with. You sweat a lot, but, you know.
Right.
They're cheap to rent.
You remember the movie Rudy?
I do.
That's right.
That's right.
So, not the best student in the class. In fact, the worst student in the class. But he got through it, and he passed.
Right.
Right.
And like I said, he worked hard. There's a lot more classes out there that he can take.
No one was killed.
To enhance his skills.
Okay.
We'll work on about the box here in a little bit. But a lot of stuff he can do to keep going, to teach himself, to build that confidence. That's all Mark needs, a little bit of confidence.
Rick told me that he's about 10 hours away. I mean, 10 really focused hours, but about 10 hours from jumping over the fountains at Caesars.
not on purpose.
No, but I'd be happy, Mike, to place a bet with you. Uh-oh. As far as when I'm going to go get my license.
No, don't do that, because then that's
no, then I'll motivate him.
Right. He has to do this on his own.
I say you won't have it before October.
Damn.
Before
face.
October.
Throwdown.
Yeah, you know what, Faith?
I say
face.
You won't have it before October.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
How about that?
Good night, everybody.
I'll take, let's say October 15th, middle of October.
Well, funny, that's not before October.
Well, I'm negotiating,
you
Rob.
Just
it's something I do.
15 days.
You can rent a motorcycle.
You know what? October 15th. If you get your motorcycle license by October 15th,
yeah.
I'll let you come on the Haiti trip with me.
Oh, whoa,
damn.
Boy. I'm excited.
All right, no, I say you
does
won't.
Does he get to come back
from
Haiti?
I'll make a gentleman's bet with you. That's
right.
Fine.
Let me see. I'll get you.
Because keep in mind, October is when you're buying me a dog, too.
I will buy you your first pair of motorcycle gloves.
Perfect, because those gardening gloves did not work for me.
You took a lot of crap.
You didn't wear gardening gloves.
That's what
I
they
did.
That's what they supplied.
Did he bring his mother's gardening gloves?
No. Go ahead, Rick.
We have a batch of them.
Yeah, oh, you have the gardening gloves?
That's what they give you. I remember
and
I
Rick,
had them too.
And Rick's garden has never looked better.
I will up the ante.
Okay.
I've got a brand new motorcycle jacket, never been used, but I think the retail value was $250.
Whoa.
And it's our size, so you can, right. It'll definitely fit you. And it's yours if you get your license.
Wow.
Nice.
I'm motivated.
Hey, Rick, do they do the same thing in Maryland? Do you see the Class M on there? You can tell on a Maryland license if he's got the motorcycle license.
Do you know what the M stands for? Stands for Mensch.
Rick, really, thank you for coming in and giving a little background on Mr. Mark Ronick. You guys are doing a great job, you and John Harris and all the boys, since you partnered up with Patriot for this program. And you know, now, do you do yourself any of the rodeo stuff? Do you go out and
I try to.
Very cool. Very cool. That's amazing. How long on two wheels? This is just a random question. Without moving the bike, how long have you stayed up on
just balancing
on
the
balancing
two wheels?
Thing?
I'm not sure. I think 128, 138.
That's amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm working on it. It's a work in progress.
That is the coolest thing in the world.
He mentioned before the show that I think is really telling. He says that even if he takes a couple weeks vacation, when he gets back on a bike, he feels the fact that he gets rusty, and that speaks to Mark practicing and everybody practicing. You got to stay on it to keep it up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
that's what I've always
said.
It's
perishable.
Yeah. Find your empty parking lot. Go work on your U-turns. Work on your figure eights. Work on all
your
little
radius.
Now, why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? Why are you chuckling when I said
that? It's not a my turn. It's a U-turn.
Okay.
I wasn't going to say it.
Thank
I just
you.
I stifled.
All right. Rick, you're welcome to stay for the rest of the show, but thank you for
instructing
our little boy
Rick
here.
Madison. Rick was very patient with me.
Man.
That's Rick Madison from the Rider's Edge program. When we come back, we'll check in with Oscar Santana.
Who said, 10 words today?
Well, I mean, I'm worried about our boy.
Me too.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to MikeOmaraShow.com, our second segment brought to you by TryLendingTree.com. If you're thinking about refinancing your home or buying a new one, is it warm in here?
Can we
get the air turned on a little bit? If you're thinking about refinancing your home or buying a new one, now is the time. Lock in an interest rate as low as 2.125.
I know,
what?
It's amazing.
That's now, before the rates go up again. Just go to TryLendingTree.com, complete one simple form, and let their network of over 200 lenders compete for your business. It's totally free. Rob Spiewak has, I think, refinanced for the third time this week.
Yes.
Just amazing.
It's made a hobby out of it.
I've got cramp from signing papers.
What was your rate that you got for your new homeowner?
I got 375.
375.
And you thought you were Rockefeller.
You should have gone to TryLendingTree.com.
Yes.
That's TryLendingTree.com, and get a free mortgage guide when you enter the code TMOS. To make sure you get the best deal, just visit TryLendingTree.com and enter the code TMOS. Hit the disclaimer, Rob!
Terms and conditions apply. Visit website for details. NMLS license number 1136, 1312 Village Creek Drive, Suite 900, Plano, Texas 75093.
Da-dun-dun!
All right, we're back, and we covered Mr. RJ Diaz.
Yes, and that's great.
Rosie O'Donnell had a heart attack, shocker, but it's time for our Oscar update. When I Now, last night I text you, and you're usually pretty religious about getting back Mark came in and told me that he had reached out to you also, we were starting to get a little concerned about how things are on the interpersonal communication.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys reaching out to me. I haven't. There's something wrong with my phone ever since I got back from Punta Cana.
Okay.
You're probably the seventh person that's told me they texted me.
Okay.
Oh. Outside of this family here.
Right.
And I haven't gotten them. I just haven't received texts for the past 3 days.
Huh. Have you gotten any texts?
No, I have to go to Verizon and I have to reset my phone or something because I'm not getting anything.
All right. When last we checked in with you on yesterday's show, your love life was going down the toilet and the lady had moved out of your house, Shannon, and you'd had a very rough time in Punta Cana, all sorts of turmoil. You opened yourself up. You were bleeding for us yesterday.
Yes.
And I know people have to find out where things stand, how things are going, whether there's been any change in the situation.
Okay. The one powerful thing about this format and this show is that when you are this honest,
yes,
almost to a fault with our audience, and I don't think that'll ever change because I think that's what a handful of people in this business that are very successful do, knowing that there are consequences,
sure,
regardless of if they're good or they're bad.
You lay it on the line more than I do, and more than most people I've ever worked with do, and I do it selectively, and other guys do it to where it's constantly an open book. You lay a lot out there. We all keep certain things to ourselves to protect people that we care about. But yesterday was pretty much, you were laying it all out there. And I think you do it when you're hurting as well.
Yeah, and I think that anyone in my life, whether it's family members or loved ones or someone I'm in a relationship with, they should, and again, I'm probably speaking to Shannon right now if I'm being honest, is that when things are great, I will talk about how great they are.
You have?
And God knows I've gotten hate mail saying, stop talking about how great your relationship
yeah,
is.
Yeah, by and large, there's a radio rule that says people don't want to hear
yes.
it. And I kind of subscribe to that.
I get that.
I understand. If you go on a great vacation, you went, oh, it's great. And we went and we saw the museum and it was the best time that we ever
Great, 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 great.
And I know that as well. And I will say that this is the best relationship I've ever been a part of. And to you, Shannon, that's hopefully listening right now, that while there are times that I will boast about how happy I am, when sad things happen and bad things happen, it's just in my nature to talk about them. And that's never going to change.
Almost
and
therapy.
I'm not necessarily proud of that fact, but that's just how I'm built. This is the way I deal
with
things.
You're wired that way.
So I think her feelings were hurt that I addressed what had happened.
Ooh.
And what initially had been a let's work things out turned into, okay, let's work things out, but I can't believe you talked about what went down.
Okay.
So she actually, now she listened yesterday.
Okay. And to the helpers out there that enjoy writing and empathizing, whether it's with me or her or anyone
else. It comes with the territory.
Yes.
Yep.
Stop helping.
Right.
Please.
You want to help? Don't help.
You know, the best feedback I saw yesterday regarding Oscar's drama was, people were sad because they're thinking now it's the end of the Shannon bit that Rob and Mike do.
Yeah.
That's how being sensitive people
that's
are.
That's how much
people
care.
Because they care. Yes.
Well, I think that it's nice that they have their priorities straight.
Yeah. I am removing all of my things from this home.
Why did you talk about it on the show?
I believe you have ingested too much alcohol.
If you stop drinking, I have something you can do instead.
I do not like you when you've had alcohol, and besides that, it taints your breath.
There must be some way to correct your breath.
Yes, you were limping through this one. Let me tell you, I've got a solution for anybody's breath problem.
What is that solution?
How about a nice bag of Lifesavers?
But what flavor?
Peppermint.
Wintergreen.
And traditional five flavor. Shannon
in the morning. Admit it, you thought about losing that bit yesterday, didn't you?
It crossed my mind.
So where are we today?
We struggle with it.
I'm in a place right now where I believe everything's going to work out. But I also think it's important for us to take a little time, and we've both agreed to it, to really reevaluate where we are in the relationship and what both our needs are as adults. I mean, she is 26 years old. I am 34. And we both need different things in our life. And on my end, just as much as she's hurt with the way that I conducted myself, and I'm not proud of, and I've said 10 times on this program, that's no way to disrespect someone you love, mm-hmm. whether it's male or female. I will say that on my end, I go back to what we talked about yesterday. If there's a certain amount of appreciation and respect that any man would like in their relationship. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And incidentally, for those that might not have listened to yesterday's show, let's take a moment back and we'll flash back to Punta Cana and how did Oscar behave. Let's go back.
That's how I remember it.
Well, it's like a time machine.
Thank you.
And I'd like to thank Oscar for thinking to tape it.
Thank you very much. So,
very, very thoughtful.
So basically, I'm hoping that within a week's time we could work this out. I think we're both hurt within this situation. On a personal note on my end, if I'm really going to tell you guys how I feel, there are times, and I think everybody's guilty of this, that when someone is so kind and so open and so really appealing to your needs, you forget that that takes an effort.
Right.
And that takes an effort on a daily basis. And sometimes, and I'm not saying she did this, but sometimes you take advantage of that and you forget what type of effort's being
made.
So
you still feel frustrated at what happened down there.
Yes.
You're still not over that.
No.
And that says something, because usually when you go over the top like you did,
right.
and you admitted to going over the
yes.
top, you know, if you thought, well, I still didn't warrant that, you still feel as though that during the time you were down there that, you know, that things were, that you felt a little taken advantage of.
Yes.
And that's true. And people do. And people have to be aware of that. And there has to be, I think, an acceptance of that. And you're kind of there.
You know, I think a little break is a good thing, especially when a relationship moves very quickly, as yours has with Shannon. Maybe a little cooling off time is not a bad idea for perspective. And like the old country song says, how can I miss you if you don't go away? It's a chance for you to find out just for a moment what life is like without each other. I think Mike has been through this in his relationships as well.
How's that?
your relationship with Carla actually moved along very well and very fast, and then there was a little break, and then you got back together, and then it moved forward again quite successfully.
Keep asking Carrie to strengthen our relationship by leaving for a little while.
I'm at a very, very advantageous spot with Carla now, because Carla is, I think, becoming aware of the fact that the 20-year age difference, now that I'm really beginning to age rapidly,
starting to show,
is, you know, where her problems are going to be over in, you know, 10 to 15 years.
Right. Oh,
so she's why, you know, why blow it now?
Why rock the boat? Yeah.
Why blow it now? Yeah. You know, you get a house, you get cars, you get a bank account.
The worst thing you could do to her, Mike,
wait it out,
is stick around.
Yeah.
Some lingering disease would just be the worst.
You know, I'd like to be an exception to the rule, you know, with the health condition that I'm in right now.
Yes.
I'd really like to be Mr. Potter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Wicker-backed wheelchair.
You know why you're staying? You're staying because you know you can't leave.
Meanwhile, the podcast is over, but we're still coming every day.
Seriously, I will be sitting there, and Willard will be announcing my birthday on the Today Show, and Carla will be at the kitchen table just sobbing lightly.
Good news, Mr. O'Mara. You're going to sit in the sun today.
Don't worry, Mike. I'll console her for you.
Hey, back off.
So you're sitting there.
With your class M.
And I think every guy's been through this at one point or another in their lives, where they're like, damn, I just feel like I was too nice. Like, if I wasn't this nice, I wouldn't feel this way right now.
I understand. I understand how that you feel like, especially on a vacation thing where you're the great circus master and you're kind of providing, and then nobody gives you your props.
Yeah.
We all want our props.
That's all we want.
We all want our little backpack.
True. Sure.
Backpat, rather. We
not
want
me.
That.
We want our attaboys.
Not you.
Nope.
No. Not you.
Never.
No. Shut up, you.
Do you know what? Yeah. I think it is particularly prevalent in this room among whatever it is that we all share that made us want to do this for a living.
Right.
We thrive on attaboys.
Yeah.
That's all we want.
That's all we need. Yeah. We're like dogs, you know, occasionally give us a treat. That's all. So good luck.
Thank you.
We won't bug you about it for the rest of the week.
No, we're good.
And we will get back to you on it. And
fix that phone.
When you are ready, because I think now you know, what Oscar doesn't mention also is that I've done this too. Sometimes we use our little vehicle here to, psychotherapy mm-hmm. and to send messages out mm-hmm. when we need to send messages
yeah,
out.
Yeah.
And
true.
If that works, that works. And I'm glad mm-hmm. she listened to yesterday's show.
Yes.
And I hope she listens to today's show.
Yeah, and she was kind enough. She took full responsibility for her actions.
And you know what?
But the fact is also,
yeah. I know Shannon, I speak on behalf of all the guys on the
show.
Super
kind.
We know how rough it is yes. when you're associated with one of us. And it's tough. And, yeah. and it's tough for you, and we understand that, and we're all fans of yours on this show. I'm saying that, and mm-hmm. I don't always do
true.
That.
That's
you
true.
We like you, and you're a good kid, and I hope you you and Oscar figure stuff out.
And think of this, Shannon, is that you're only dating one member of the show, whereas everyone in this room is dating five members mm-hmm. of
there
the show.
There you go.
So that's it right. sucks to be us. Really, you've got the easy road.
And another thing, Shannon.
No.
I'm sorry. Okay.
No, that's no okay. good
now.
Can come of that.
I was just going to offer my...
Yeah, you were trying to encourage another break.
I was going
to
offer
you?
My. I'm sorry.
There's a little of that in each of us as well.
Yes, there is.
Just a little.
Yes. Duplicitous.
Yes, that's
sure.
That's
untrustworthy.
That's what the D stands for in DJ.
No, I trust.
Handsome.
I trust all of you guys.
Uh-huh. Hey, Mike.
Anyway,
not at all.
Do you? You know, we haven't talked about Reno very much.
We haven't.
Oh, all of us.
I will tell you something about this show. I am always a fatalistic. Irishman.
You're a worrier.
I don't like to count my chickens before they're hatched, and I really, when I'm setting up something
don't count those chickens.
I know we got a lot of people to listen out on the West Coast, yeah. but I'll tell you something. We are very happy that things have progressed very nicely.
Nice start.
And the first day of ticket sales was terrific.
Yes,
and
better
I think,
than you know.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I told Mark, when we checked in yesterday about mid-afternoon,
mm-hmm.
we had sold... in a couple of hours, mm-hmm. 273 tickets
right.
to our show in Reno.
Right.
By impressive. The end of the day, we assumed it would be about 300, so I expected to come in and report to you we've sold 300 tickets for our show. Mm-hmm. I told you before that if we don't sell 400, we're not coming
can't
to Reno.
Do it. Can't do it.
And Mark said that he might get an update during the middle of the show. I have no idea whether there is an update. He's writing something down
he's
on
going
board.
To the toast.
He's got his, he's we, got his good look.
Probably going
to
need another timpani.
Okay.
Role
yeah, he's got his so. Good look for Reno. And let me tell you something.
He's not going to
write. I'm very excited. Mark Ronick, can you tell us how many tickets have we sold for our Reno show?
Show us the board.
At this hour, which is approximately 11:45 a.m. Eastern time.
I got this 4 minutes ago from our friends at Circus Circus. Mm-hmm. 368 tickets.
Oh!
That is huge.
That's less than 24 hours.
That is huge.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is so amazing to me that we have sold that many tickets in that short a period of time. We're 40 some odd tickets away from the guarantee in one day. That's amazing.
And you know what's very cool is that is a better total in one day than when we did the live show at the State Theater.
At the
Virginia.
State Theater. Yeah. That is
how
our
many
total.
Mark? How many away. Tickets?
368.
Oh yeah!
Wow.
Oh!
We are 32 tickets away from making the announcement that we're coming.
Yeah.
Well, boys, we better plan a show.
Yeah, back to the ukulele lessons.
That is great news.
Now
that
I don't feel
terrific.
So stupid that I got my coat laundered.
That is great news. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Everybody on the West Coast.
That's amazing.
For making this happen. We're talking the November 10th Circus Circus. Obviously, we're going to be there.
Yep.
And that is just wonderful news. Now it's on to the 800 or 900 to do the full sellout.
That's right.
Put it over the top.
Let's see if we can sell this baby out. Looking forward to that. I'm very excited about that. So great. 368 tickets to our show.
Yeah!
368
all
tickets. All we want is to sell one more ticket than last year.
Yes. Tickets on sale again this morning at 10 a.m.
That's right. Yeah, they're on sale. Actually, I think you could probably
still,
go right now
ongoing.
And call.
And I do want to thank everyone who said that there were busy signals, that there was actually... there was a rush. Their patience is most appreciated. Thank you for persevering and buying those tickets.
And, now just let's fill that joint up as much as we can. 400 is a nice little crew. And we'll let you know, and we'll keep updating you on a weekly basis for the tickets. We'll let you know as soon as we hit the 400 mark.
Absolutely.
That is very,
absolutely.
Very exciting.
Tell your friends and put a little something up on Facebook for us.
Yeah, we appreciate
that. Would be awesome.
That. Yeah. Love to sell that joint out. And, boy, one day.
Very nice.
Almost 400 tickets in one day. That is a very, very
That's
good number.
That's a lot of disappointed people.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, yes, that is true.
But until then,
and a very,
all smiles.
A very special opening that even my colleagues don't know.
Oh, for
this West.
I think you should leave that closed.
Yeah, no. Close
right.
that opening.
That's good news. We'll take a break and come back with Rob's Magic Audio Vault right after this. What's this? I like this.
Sex yeah. on Fire, Kings of Leon. Ooh. Carrie loves this
Very
song.
Very nice. I like this. I say, nice. Rob's Magic Audio Vault is brought to you by Wait Not. Here's another letter. We get a lot of these.
Great one.
Before I started on Wait Not, I was about 240 pounds of fat. Triple XL shirts were barely fitting, and the size 38 jeans were a joke. Though I refused to admit I needed a bigger size, I was desperate not to hit that 40 waist jean size.
Yep.
I also did not want to go bigger on the shirt. When I first heard about Wait Not on the show, I was a bit skeptical, but when I saw what RJ looked like on the RV DVD and the success Rob was having, I decided to give it a shot. What did I have to lose? Well, here we go. I lost about 50 pounds
Whoa.
Since the beginning of the year, most of it early on. I am now down below 200 pounds for the first time in a long time.
Wow.
I now fit into some 34 size jeans, which has not happened in a long time as well. I was not perfect on the program, but I still lost weight. I feel better, I look younger, and I have had to buy all new clothes since I did not have any smaller jeans at home. I am now working with a personal trainer at the gym to help build muscle
See?
Now that I have lost the weight. Though I am still losing weight and body fat, which is currently at 21%.
Nice.
I know Rob likes to measure things by bags of sugar, but out here we measure by bags of potatoes. I have lost the equivalent of 5 bags of potatoes.
Attaboy.
That comes to us from Kevin Winter.
Attaboy, Kevin.
Congratulations, Kevin. That's Wait Not. We're talking about that. You want to get involved, and if you have a story, please share it with us. 855-WAIT-NOT, 855-934-4486, or waitnot.com. Unbelievable results you can believe in.
I'm having such a good time on this third round. I'm down 25 pounds in 24 days.
There you go.
Nice.
And yesterday, to the entertainment of everyone in Loudoun County, I got on an elliptical.
Yay!
I nearly killed myself, but more updates to come. But I've never had the energy nor drive to even try something like that.
Yeah, you know what? And keep it going, and you look great. And
thank you.
Wait Not is what
it's amazing.
Works.
It really is.
Remember, that's 855-WAIT-NOT, 855-934-4486. It's on with the Audio Vault for today, which is Tuesday. This is August 21, 2012. Take it away, Rob.
Did I scoop you yesterday with Phyllis?
You did. You were the first one. Buzz was second.
Rachel was second.
I'm very sad. I always admired her as not just as a female comedian, but Phyllis Diller was a great comedian.
And a piece of ass,
And
too.
A great piece of ass. Nice box.
Had the pleasure of interviewing Phyllis Diller probably 2 or 3 times.
Always funny. Always
and,
brought it.
And met her personally once where, believe it or not, this is so many years ago, like on a cruise ship, she was the entertainment on a cruise ship, and she couldn't have been more classy and nice. And when she's not in that persona, that character, she was kind of like a dignified old lady.
She was neat, and she was very funny. You think you really want to gauge the scope of her career. Her big break was from Groucho Marx. That's how old she was.
And really stand-up before Joan Rivers. So she
paved the way for Joan.
I mean, stand-up when stand-up, females did not get up on stage and do stand-up.
Right. She had an amazing career. She lived till 95, and actually had it together almost to the very end. An amazing career. Yeah. And she remained pertinent. And she was in the movie The Aristocrats. And I pulled some audio from that because I didn't see anyone pulling audio from The Aristocrats. This is Phyllis Diller in 2005 commenting on the first time she heard the world's dirtiest joke, The Aristocrats.
No, I've heard the joke.
Did you ever hear it as The Sophisticates or The Aristocrats?
The Aristocrats. The Aristocrats. I like The Aristocrats.
Well, that puts you in the young school because the old timers say Sophisticates.
I like it. Probably came with the guarantee on my facelift. I didn't hear it with the fertilizer in it. I mean, the shit bothered me. Yes, it's so filthy.
But the incest stuff you're fine with.
Incest. Well, no. Oh, no. Oh, no, no. No, that's when my breathing stopped.
I love the fact that she would do this and also riff with comedians literally one-third her age.
Yeah.
This is her talking about the fact that there was a dog in the Aristocrats joke. Mm-hmm. If you've not heard the joke, go ahead and rent the movie. This is no time to tell the joke.
And my personal feeling is that it's not Bob Saget. It's Gilbert Gottfried that tells that joke the best.
Agreed.
He does, but you know what? There's a variant told by Martin Mull, also very good.
Oh, I'd love
You'll
to
be
hear
hearing
that.
It in a future bonus show because I had forgotten about it. But here's Phyllis Diller talking about the relations with a dog in the Aristocrats joke.
And the dog, oh, that's called bestiality.
Yes.
It's in the Bible.
It's in my diary.
He said it's in his diary. And I knew his dog.
She was so funny.
She also claimed that she got away with more stuff as a young comic because she was viewed as so innocent. Because right. It was really a man's game then.
Right.
This is her talking about something she did early on that she claimed she didn't understand, that didn't get her in trouble, but very well could have. She's referring to her middle finger.
Let me tell you one. I always wore gloves, okay? Now, I'm putting black gloves on. I'm putting them on stage. I had a coach. He told me to cut out this finger,
the middle,
and just let it hang. Now, I did not know about that gesture. I had no knowledge. Well, I hadn't learned to drive yet. And I asked this coach of mine repeatedly, why do they laugh when I put that glove on? To me, it was just a glove that needed mending. You know what I mean? So I'm sure the people thought, oh, that's a dirty lady. I know about it now. Well, in fact, my mother-in-law, I thought she had rheumatism in all but her third finger. It's just that she hated me.
She's so genuinely funny.
Yeah, yeah. See, there's genuine funniness. I was watching someone,
tell a joke.
And I was trying
God,
to
and
think.
Fast.
Yeah. God, who was I watching the other night? I said, that person is just funny no matter what they do. I forgot who it was. But Phyllis Diller, you can tell, you know, you would sit down with her at a dinner party
right.
where she's not doing her shtick. There mm-hmm. are comedians who have great material,
yeah.
but really aren't all that funny people. Right. And, you know, you sit with them, but Phyllis Diller, you can tell she's just telling a random story like a funny old lady.
The trademark, you know, so many comedians have a catchphrase or something. Hers is so natural. It's got to be her laugh. The yeah. greatest
oh,
laugh.
Oh, absolutely.
And natural.
And
that's how she laughs.
Exactly. And I'm glad you bring that up because I have that laugh in context. That comes from Roseanne's reality show. Remember Roseanne's reality show where she was growing macadamia nuts?
Yeah, in Hawaii.
Yeah. They flew Roseanne, Phyllis Diller in to have coffee. And this is how that laugh comes out in real life. And it's just so great.
I think Miss Diller's laugh is the greatest laugh in history. It just cracked me up since I was a little girl and would hear her comedy records. I'm singing again. I finally recovered from that terrible singing accident.
What singing accident?
Oh, that little Star Spangled Banner.
Just fantastic. And I thought this was a great clip. This is from a roast of Ronald Reagan in 1973. So you can not only hear Phyllis Diller, what would that be, 40-some years ago?
Yeah, this is her in her prime.
But also, she makes a prediction that would come true. This is her talking about governor at the time, Ronald Reagan.
The last time Ronnie ran for office, I saw a pregnant woman wearing a campaign button that said, Reagan's the man. I want to thank you for one thing. If you ever get to be president, and I think you may.
How about that?
And there's a depression. Try not to have it at a bad time, like when everybody's out of work.
By the way, she predicted his presidency.
That's
pretty
stuff.
Cool. So
that's
a safe
good.
Home, Phyllis Diller.
So long, Phyllis.
Yeah. I really did love she her material. Great. Last thing, this is the first time she ever got yelled at for being racy. And it's not really racy, but you'll want to know how far we've come with censorship. I believe this is from telling a story about the 1960s.
Do you remember the first slightly racy joke that you got away with?
Well, yeah, I remember the first one that made the needle at NBC pop over the furthest, the longest. I just threw it in on the air. It was about my Fang's skinny sister, who never had any dates, but she finally had a date, and when she got home, I was so thrilled for her because I thought she'd gotten married. She had rice all through her hair. A Chinaman threw up on her.
Oh, horrible.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Love her laugh.
I got balled out.
Yeah, she got balled out for that. So
did he just lose you with that one? Did
yeah.
you
see? Jesus, man.
How can you lose what you never had, Mike? Also, a salute, a tip, and safe home, Phyllis Diller.
Yeah.
Very sad, and a long time before someone like her will come.
You're the
again.
Only guy I could find the racist joke she did, though.
the only one.
I'm the only one, really?
I'm just saying, wow. They were all great.
We were
like,
doing
and
so,
she was racist.
We were doing so well.
Oh, now
just
they're all
like me.
No, I'm not turning on you. I'm so with you.
Thank you.
I'm still with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got one more?
I do have a tip of the hat for my senior citizen of the week. You would think Phyllis Diller would be the senior citizen of the week.
Yes, the late
She
great.
Is not. Right. She is not. The senior citizen of the week is Margaret Jackson of Houston, who was visiting her daughter, heard an intruder, and was able to chase the intruder away with a barbecue fork.
Very good.
Now, with a thrilling recap of this, let us go to 70-year-old Margaret Jackson.
I looked through this blind, I can see the outside, the back door, and I saw the man. I say, I got to get me a strategy. So I opened the cabinet up, and all I found was the scissors, the fork, and the dog. Right. This leg, I know this leg got the arthritis, and it was going to hurt. I said, I got to get to him before he get to me.
That's right.
I opened this door like this, and he was back of that door bar. I pushed that door. He stopped that door, and he came out. He was pushing me. He got away. He got to running. When I got right here, I got him a whack in the neck. And he ran, and he jumped that fence. But I got him with this shit. I got him in the neck.
Isn't that great? And before we, no, last thing.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier Rosie O'Donnell's heart attack.
Yes.
I think I might be the only person that has exclusive audio of the heart attack.
Oh, good. Let's listen.
This is odd.
Someone
not many.
Recorded it?
None of the news people had this today.
Okay.
I have it. Here's Rosie O'Donnell having her heart attack.
Oh.
Thank God she's all right. That is your magic audio vault, Mike.
Thank you, Rob.
Safe home, Phyllis.
That's good stuff. I like that. We will take a break and come back with Buzz and the news right after this. Welcome back to MikeOMara.com, Rob.
Yes.
I like the joke.
I was just putting it in historical perspective.
I understand. I like Phyllis Diller. Something about her I like.
I love her.
It really, that broke my heart. I saw her in concert in 1984, believe it or not. And even as a 13-year-old, she killed me. Just the best.
You love the shtick of the old comedian. That was a nice tribute you did for her.
Thank you.
Let's get to the news. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. Without further ado, take it away, Mr. Buzz Burbank.
Thank you, Mike. We're brought to you today by Spencer and Devon Shaving Cream. Spencer and Devon uses natural ingredients like aloe and shea butter. No harsh chemicals. Spencer and Devon Shaving Cream is good to your face, whether you have a tough beard, sensitive skin, or both. Got bumps? Get Spencer and Devon Shaving Cream. In sagebrush, spice, or completely unscented, read their story at SpencerDevon.com or click their ad on our website. Spencer and Devon Shaving Cream. Smooth the savage blade.
And great for your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yours too. If you view
what?
Politics...
Huh?
Yeah, it was good on you, though.
Hey, yeah. Exactly. Free bowl of soup.
Right. If you view politics as we do, as a spectator sport with real-life consequences, then you have to be mesmerized by the story of Tea Party Republican Todd Akin. The Missouri congressman stepped in it severely over the weekend. He said that what he called legitimate rape rarely results in pregnancy because a woman's body has ways of preventing that. That set off a firestorm of negative reactions, including from fellow Republicans. And usually, when something like this happens, the party suggests that the candidate step down voluntarily. That is not the case this time. The Republican Party has ripped away all funding from Akin, who's running for re-election, and the party is insisting that he quit the race by 5 p.m. today so it can meet the deadline for finding a replacement candidate. The story gets even more interesting with the knowledge that Akin has absolutely no intention of quitting the race. In fact, even today, a new poll since this controversy broke, he's still leading the race.
Yeah, it's Missouri. Of course he is.
Yeah, wow. Typically a Democratic state, by the way.
Really?
He has called his comment a mistake, a poor choice of words, and he has apologized in a new TV commercial. And yet, he skipped an appearance on CNN last night, leaving an empty chair across from Piers Morgan, who called Akin a gutless little twerp.
Would you like to hear the tape? It's brief, but it's the actual tape of Piers Morgan.
Yeah, this is interesting. Yeah, okay, play this.
Todd Akin has until tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern to say whether he's staying in the race or bowing out, and then in the GOP, replace him on the ballot. And Congressman, you have an open invitation to join me in that chair whenever you feel up to it. Because if you don't keep your promise to appear on the show, then you are what we would call in Britain a gutless little twerp.
Then the ghost of Phyllis Diller laughed after that. And yeah. I would think he would be a little bit more worldly and not make these stupid statements.
Right.
You know, because his son, I think, is a smart guy.
His son?
Clay.
Clay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Also very good.
And talented.
Allergic to tree nuts, though.
Tree nuts.
And there are more. More layers. Akin once co-sponsored a bill to redefine rape. The other sponsor was Mitt Romney's vice presidential running mate, Paul Ryan. We've also learned that outlawing abortion will be part of the Republican platform to be unveiled at next week's convention.
Not to go too deep into it, but really, how would you redefine rape?
Legal definition.
Okay, all right.
For right to life purposes.
Oh, well, understood. Okay.
This is when you have degrees of a guy screwing up.
Right.
You have the screw up where they're going to back you, but they're going to distance themselves from you. Then you have the screw up where they're all going to turn on you. And it's kind of fun when you see the party that the guy is part of, and they all turn on him, and they have left this guy high and dry.
Rightly
and so. I think they kind of, the Democrats did that to Joe Lieberman, and Joe Lieberman ended up running as an independent and won. So, sometimes these guys, because they have these egos, they say, hey, screw you. You're going to abandon me. I'm going to dig my heels in and let's see what happens.
Joe Lieberman ran under the excitement party.
Yes, you're right. Thank you, Ron.
That convention in Tampa could get ugly with the help of disenfranchised Ron Paul supporters. Ron Paul delegates say they will deny Mitt Romney their votes if party officials keep their promise to deny seats to Paul's delegates. And what Paul's supporters really want is for him to speak at the convention. The RNC is, in fact, worried about this. Ron Paul supporters from at least six states threatened to disrupt the convention.
Good for them.
The purpose of which is to bring party members together to back one candidate, Mitt Romney.
How long since we've had a really good disruption?
Ron Paul is somebody who has a lot of support within the Republican Party, and I think they ought to let the guy speak. He represents a fraction of it. You know, why be robots? Why not have a little...
Because some of what he has
little
to
sizzle.
Say
That's
is
right.
critical of the mainstream Republican Party. And
put Chris Christie
they don't
on a
that.
Cooking show.
Yeah. Yeah, but well, Ron Paul's wife is going to be there. It's a fish frying show.
Oh, excellent.
Mrs. Paul's?
Mrs. Paul. Fish. It's going to smell like Augusta.
The governor of Maine.
60-minute callback.
I liked it, though. The governor of Maine is threatening to boycott the convention, and Paul supporters around the country threatening to withhold their votes from Romney on Election Day.
Really?
The Oklahoma State Republican Convention earlier this summer actually turned violent in Oklahoma over this Ron Paul issue.
Wow.
Florida is one of those red states to drum up unnecessary new voter laws this year that many feel are aimed at keeping likely Democratic voters away from the polls. And now Florida finds itself defending itself against a half dozen challenges, lawsuits, against its new voter law, which began, by the way, with a purging of the lists of registered voters. The law also restricts early voting, a move that also favors Republicans. Quoting one election law expert referring to the Bush-Gore mess of 2004, Florida, he says, is desperately trying not to be the next Florida.
Now, when you say they purged the voting list, you mean they just wiped them out and everyone has to re-register?
They started. In some districts, they actually did this. The federal government stepped in and said, stop. So, whether or not that gets undone or if those counties remain purged, I don't know what the
ultimate
outcome is.
And there's a tropical storm out there.
Which
one? And they're saying it could threaten the west coast of Florida by convention time.
Oh,
dear.
And don't
thought I'd throw that into the equation.
And don't forget who's going to be in town for the convention.
Who's that?
RJ3.
He starts his new job.
Coincidence? Yeah.
Can you report from the convention for us?
I do have an update.
You do?
My new start date is the day after Labor Day.
Oh, the day after Labor Day.
Mm-hmm. I did try to procure arrangements to stay and get there and everything. It's just astronomically expensive.
He can't. There's no place. There are no hotel rooms because of the convention.
Get a car. All of those things are just crazily priced right now.
All right. Good. Glad you're going to be late on your first day of work.
There we go. Thanks, Mike.
The two best words in that report were crazily and procure.
That's right.
I like that.
You know, how many people did you high-five when you found out the convention was going to be there and you wouldn't have to start work on time?
Well, I was actually looking forward to going there for the convention, but it was going to cost me too much money.
No, because he is the spectator.
Yeah,
he wanted to see it.
It's an event.
Do you have any pals at all that you could stay with down there?
In Tampa. I'd have to, West Palm, Fort Lauderdale.
Too
that's
far
too far away.
Too far away. So, you're right.
By the way,
he'll be starting on Labor Day, 2015.
Florida's governor yesterday bragged on Fox Not News Channel that his state has the most concealed carry permits in the country.
There you go.
Nice timing as we await the outcome of the Trayvon Martin shooting case. Other news fast. President Obama's threatening military action against Syria if we see signs President Assad's moving chemical or biological weapons. The Los Angeles porn industry has just shut down again for the third time in 2 years.
AIDS scare?
This time, no. This time, it's because of at least one case of syphilis.
Oh. Hey, this is Eric Ronick from Black Gold.
My finger slipped.
The LA City Council voted earlier this year to require condom use, but has not gotten around to enforcing that law yet.
Yeah. Syphilis.
Put it away, Tim.
That's an oldie but goodie.
It sure
it's
is.
It's a classic.
Baltimore used to be number one in syphilis.
Yes.
Yeah, well, that, I remember that.
Yeah, but we got better. We got shots.
Hello there.
Yeah.
I'm Balmer Billy, and I can't stop this painful...
Yeah, what you need to do is you need to put a jacket on that, Jimmy.
There's the title of today's show.
That's right. Double bag it.
And finally, police in Sweden responded late last week to the report of an aggressive dog.
Oh, look out.
It had attacked and bitten another dog, and residents were concerned. Police have so far not been able to locate the dog, and they think it's because the dog is small and easy to hide. The attacking dog, as it turns out, he's a chihuahua.
Hello.
Oh, look out.
There you go.
Quoting one cop, I did think it was going to be a bigger dog than that. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
Our show today was brought to you by The Twilight War by David Chris. The Twilight War, the dramatic secret history of our 30-year conflict with Iran, including covert operations that brought our countries to the brink of war. Author David Crist is a historian for the U.S. government and a frequent advisor to senior civilian and government officials. This is a great read.
It is.
The Twilight War by David Crist, praised by both the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. They have different points of view, don't you know?
How's that?
NPR calls it fascinating. NPR. NPR calls it fascinating.
NPR, that's a French station.
Hello, this is a very good book.
NPR.
Because
it's fascinating.
Oh, NPR.
And says it reads like an action movie, The Twilight War by David Crist, available now at thetwilightwar.com. But you can help the show by purchasing it through the Amazon page on our website. We also want to thank Rick Madison from
thank
the Writer's
Rick.
Edge
thank
program.
You, Rick.
Rick's got to get out there and do his day job pretty soon. We won't talk about that.
Yeah. Good job.
Anyway.
Ballroom dancing it is?
Thank you all very much. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao. Thank you.